Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello, Egg Chasers. It's the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, the podcast about rugby that doesn't take itself or the game too seriously. And rugby or no rugby, we are back once again in our... well, in our respective TMO shipping containers in various parts of South Manchester and Cheshire. And that is JB.
Hello, Timothy.
Hello, JB. And Phil.
Hello, Tim.
Hello, Phil. I'm looking at a video on a video conferencing bit of software, and JB is reclined again like he's on a chaise longue.
Yep.
Drawing me like one of your French girls. And Phil, you're just you're teasing us. You just pulled the zip down just a little bit.
Ooh.
On your top. Very Ooh. Very provocative.
It's because I'm wearing a Harlequin's vest under my hoodie. Just a little bit of skin on show.
How is the Harlequin's conditioning coach, aka one of the world's strongest men? I wonder what he's doing in lockdown.
Lifting heavy stuff. Although if he's not, I don't know, Phil. You tell me. Would he have to be drastically reducing his calories?
If he's not, I imagine he would be.
He's not near a gym because those boys eat a lot of calories, but they burn a lot as well.
Yeah. It'll be adjusting depending on training, I imagine. Mm. I tell you what, I did see Tom Wood. His Instagram is very good. A lot of wood products, a lot of joinery work. He's very, very skilled at, but some other barbecuing and fitness stuff. And he was pushing his Toyota Hilux around.
Was he really?
Yeah, a pickup. He was pushing that up and down the street to keep fit. And that's, if you've not got access to proper gym facilities, that's not a bad thing to do.
No, it's not a bad thing to do.
Was that a product placement thing? Was that part of a sponsorship deal, do you think? No, just no. Purely functional, doing a workout.
I'm not convinced if you're Toyota, the perfect product placement is someone pushing your vehicle.
If it's rugged and tough.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a good point. You would want it in the contract that they must stress that this is perfectly, this is roadworthy and does work.
Well, I did a small workout today. I got my tiny 16-kilogram kettlebell, which I had to carry for 2.5 miles from my friend's house. He left it outside. It was essential travel. So I had to carry it home. That was far harder than the actual workout. Did a workout. Solid. Well, I thought I was going hard for 28 minutes. According to my Garmin watch, 160 calories burned. I thought, what is the point?
Might as well just have another beer and blow it all away.
Exactly right. So there's a lesson there. Don't try.
I'd take that with a pinch of salt. That the calories, as in, I think it might be more than that. If you're working hard for 28 minutes, you'd be burning.
Yeah,
it
was 80 seconds on, 20 seconds off.
80 seconds on, 20 seconds.
Burpees, skipping. I'm still having their sit-ups, kettlebell swings, kettlebell clean and press.
80 seconds on?
Yeah, it's like 1 minute 20.
Bloody hell. Fair play.
Yeah, fair play.
It was not impressive, mate. It was not that impressive. I even got my whiteboard out just to convince myself I was in a CrossFit gym.
Did you write a motivational slogan on it?
No, just my numbers. Just my numbers, but I should have, to be fair.
Right. Well, we can talk about various things we've been up to throughout this podcast. Well, we've got a bunch of questions and thoughts that people have submitted as well and got in touch. We're at Rugby Podcast on Twitter. But before we get in, Phil, you mentioned in Peep Show last week. I've just been hammering Peep Show since our last podcast. It's top five. One of my top five favorite shows.
It's brilliant, isn't it?
It's incredible. It's absolutely brilliant. The writing and the acting is just unreal. I love it so much. How far have you got through?
I'm on season five since last week. There's only six episodes and they're 25 minutes. So while I'm just sort of like riding on the turbo trader, just bash through the episodes of Peep Show.
Love it.
Absolutely. Right.
So you're on the turbo trainer as well then?
Yeah, doing a bunch of that.
Good work.
Just got myself set up on that Zwift thing.
Oh yeah,
You can race other people.
And you can race anywhere in the world.
Yeah.
Like it mimics different maps, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's cool.
Hey, have you heard about these psychopaths that want to get Strava banned?
What?
Yeah, it's in the paper today that they want to get Strava banned because people are now going out for longer runs than they used to go and also go out for longer cycles because it's a one-time out. So in order to stop them, they want to get Strava banned, and they want to get Strava to cancel their challenges on the basis that if you fall over far away from your house or off your bike, you're going to need the NHS.
What?
What more? And besides, if you fall off your bike, right, and you need to go to hospital, it doesn't really matter how close to your house you are, does it?
No. And if you don't do any exercise,
you're going to end up in hospital just because it's too far to walk home.
There is some overreach going on at the minute, isn't there?
Oh, like you wouldn't believe. Some people will come out of this very, very well. By the way, I will not be one of those, and I'll explain that later. And others, like the police forces up and down the nation, and the bloody people running off Strava, are going to come out of this very, very poorly indeed.
Yeah. Strava is one of the good things, although you do have to be careful if you go for... You can't Strava everything.
No. No, you can't.
Just in case someone's watching.
Strava with the boys. Right, Johnny May. Let's talk Johnny May.
Yes.
He's gone back home to Gloucester. Or he's going to be going back home to Gloucester.
Isn't it a mess? I mean, let's just start off with the last point of view. I mean, what were they thinking? Because they got rid of their club captain, who is now Gloucester's club captain. So it wasn't a fluke. It wasn't the fact that Ed Slater... was that Tigers, it was the right place, right situation, happens to have a leadership role. He's a genuine, bona fide leader, and they're so rare in rugby that he's going to be super valuable wherever he goes. So Gloucester get a captain, they get money, and now after Johnny May has got 20 tries for England, as Charlie Morgan, friend of the show, pointed out, he's now gone back to Gloucester as one of the world's best wingers. This is an absolute monumental disaster for Tigers. It tells you everything you need to know about that organisation, how it's organised, and their transfer policies, which are garbage.
So they have brought in... So Leicester, to replace him, have brought in Nadolo, who's 3 or 4 years older than Johnny May.
He's not actually. He's older. He's only 32, actually. He's younger than I thought.
Yeah, but, well, Johnny May's 29, so there you go. Yeah. Three years older than Johnny May. So that's a downside. On a plus side, Johnny May, presumably when the season gets back on track or next season, will miss half a dozen to a dozen games when he's playing for England. Whereas Nadolo, he retired from international rugby a couple of years ago. He will not miss anything.
Yeah. Now, the problem is... Sorry, go on, Tim.
No, I was just going to say, I don't think it's a disaster for Tigers, this move. It was a disaster signing him in the first place. Not because Johnny May is anything other than an outstanding player, but just that it wasn't an area of need. It wasn't a priority. And they spent a load of money on a guy who they only saw half of the year. And if you're going to, and I think what we've talked about many times on the podcast is, are England players really worth it? And that's something that concerns me, is that almost having an international player, it doesn't necessarily... It doesn't. The, it doesn't necessarily add up in the formula when you're working out how to assemble a Premiership squad. And
especially when you consider you have to pay them international player money. So yeah. Johnny May will be on very good money, but you're only getting him half the time.
Just hold that thought a second, okay? So before we go on to the money, let's just think about the Ndolo transfer. It's good signing in of itself, but I wouldn't mistake that as a replacement for Johnny May. I think they're very separate things. I also think Ndolo will end up playing 12 for Leicester rather than anything else. So that's a problem, that they've not got one winger in and one winger out. The other thing is, Johnny May has been the top try scorer at Tigers, I think, every year he's been there, even when he's away with England. So if Ndolo is going to play on the wing as a like-for-like replacement, he's going to have to score, you know, a lot of tries, an awful lot of tries. So I'm not convinced on him being a one-for-one replacement.
Yeah, they're probably not one-for-one replacements. You've got one out and one in, but they will be used in very different ways, definitely. But it does, I mean, for the last few years, Leicester's back three, when you've got Johnny May and Tolisso Vianu available, they are world-class players. The problem is, they've not been available. Tolisso Vianu is perpetually injured, and Johnny May has been in and out with England. So they've not they've not got the players that they have in their squad on the pitch as much as they need to.
And if you have that international cash, well, yeah, it's lovely to have wingers, but you've got to get them the ball, and Leicester aren't doing the business elsewhere on the field to get them the ball.
Yeah, it's a good point, actually, because this Leicester team is not going to correct the mistakes from last season when they finished 11th just, or this season when they would be lined up for relegation if it were not for the Saracens' position. Johnny May, in or out, is not going to correct that.
So Gloucester getting rid of him just after a World Cup, and then getting him back just after a World Cup. It's and also I would imagine they're not going to pay him massive money that Johnny May might have got when he went to Leicester. That would be my guess. And
so, as I understand it, it is a substantial pay cut. So linking it back to what we were saying earlier on about are England players worth it, are wingers worth it? Well, I think this is another part of the story which has been neglected, that Tigers overpaid for him. Well, if they overpayed for him, maybe they did, but he was their top try scorer. So I do have some sympathy with the amount of money that he received there. Fact is, he wasn't that valuable to anyone else, including Gloucester. So yeah, it's a substantial pay cut. Because like Yeezy Boys have just said, wingers and England wingers aren't that valuable.
However, spending a bit of money, less though than Leicester would have paid, is good for Gloucester. But also, then you've got a great guy who is one of the best wingers on the planet. And to help Ollie Thorley and Lewis Rees-Zammit come through. Quite nice.
So I read a tweet saying basically the same thing, like, oh, it would be great for Lewis Rees-Zammit and Ollie Thorley to learn under the guise of Johnny May. It just made me laugh because I thought, does Johnny May strike you as a teaching type? I mean, like, he's very good. He's one of the best wingers on the planet. Do you think he consciously tries to be really fast?
Yeah. And, like, if you look at his try against France in the Six Nations, where he, like, beats half the team, chips over the top, regathers the ball, slides under the... Like, how do you teach that?
Yeah.
There's no way at any point he knows what he's doing next. It just happens.
He's the most instinctive player, maybe, in all of rugby.
Yeah,
he's
you're right.
He's not teaching anyone anything, is he?
Just do the first thing that comes into your head, boys. That's my advice.
It's like putting Dan Cole, get him training with Cheslin Colby, and say, Dan... Learn from Cheslin Colby. You're going to be a magnificent back three player.
I'm really hoping that Johnny May in red and white, in cherry and white, sorry, he's going to suddenly go on his 400 metre backwards sideways runs. Yeah, I really hope that happens.
If you can get those three on the pitch at the same time, there is some serious gas.
Who goes to fullback?
Johnny May, I think, has played there a couple of times for Leicester.
Yeah, but let's not talk about that. Yeah,
Tom Marshall staying, though, so that won't happen.
Is he?
Yeah.
I thought he was leaving.
He was going to, but he's now staying.
Is he really? That's a that's a great bit of retention. And they've got the guy Woodward. With floppy hair. Woodward, who I think is brilliant.
Woodward.
Yeah. So they've got options in their back three there, Gloucester. But again, they've not, this season, they've not made the most of it. They've got to utilise the talent that they've got out there.
What do you think of the publicity side, or the PR side, I should say, of signing a player when your players are furloughed? Do you think it should be done?
I don't have an issue with it. Life goes on. You've got contracts ending, because that's one of the interesting things about this, that they're signing him from the 1st of July, aren't they? Gloucester signed, so his new contract starts with Gloucester on the 1st of July, whether this season is concluded or not. So the contracts are time bound, not season bound.
Yes, of course, yes.
Which is something on the very first week that rugby got stopped, we debated that, and that was our assessment as well, that they would be time bound rather than playing season bound.
Yeah. Which actually links on then. So Premiership Rugby this week have made an additional statement than the one they made a few weeks ago when they said it's postponed for the time being. And I remember back then when they made that first statement, they got a bit of flack for sounding too eager to get back out there and play. So they must have said about half a dozen times in the statement that they put out in the week, when it's safe to do so. We'll look to resume when it's safe to do so.
But that's probably all this really said.
Yeah. So
this statement, it said they're further postponing. They're not cancelling this season yet, so they're not concluding it. Compared to the Championship and below in England, where all of the other leagues have been concluded. But will return when it's safe to do so, which is totally non-specific, but it's about all they can say right now.
Well, the NRL are kicking off in about 3 weeks' time.
Yeah, I did see something on that. Yeah. How are they going to control it then?
Just kick off. Just go for it.
Well, are they having fans there?
No idea.
No, I think it's going to be behind closed doors, which is what I believe football are potentially looking at doing in a few weeks. I don't know. Or there's rumours to that effect.
Well, bless Dana White's heart. He has gone out and bought himself basically a Native American reservation for the Ferguson fight. And that's going to... I wouldn't be surprised if that's one of the all-time great or most watched sporting battles, because there's nothing else on.
So that's UFC?
UFC, yeah.
They're going to take...
They were close to agreeing terms, allegedly, on a private island. But in the end, they went for a Native American reservation.
Wow.
You're right, though. People are so starved of any live sport that everyone will be watching that. The whole world will be watching that.
Bearing in mind, you've already touched on the contract issue, Phil. The other thing would be, if they tried to resume the Premiership and it went beyond September, for argument's sake, and the Championship season started, where would Newcastle... What would Saracens do?
Tremendous point.
Yeah, good question. Good question.
if the Premiership reformed to something else, say if this all goes seriously wrong, well, then they've got an issue that Saracens might be asked to reform into the new league, which is a rumour going around, which is all the clubs have already been approached. Not approached, that's not the right word. But some people have floated the idea of reforming the league if some of the teams don't survive. And that would presumably include Saracens.
Yeah, I would guess so at this stage.
Well, what you need is very wealthy owners willing to foot the bill. Guess what Saracens have?
Yeah.
I guess going back to the contractual point, I'm sure could be worked around the season, when the season starts and ends point is a little bit trickier. How much longer before they knock it on the head? There's clearly the thing going on with the Premiership that isn't going on with the Championship and below is the amount of money and the amount of money tied up in stakeholders, broadcasters, sponsors. gate receipts,
yes.
All the rest of it.
It's all magnified at Premiership level. It's many times the revenues around each game are many times more than any other English rugby.
It just makes me think, right, that rugby needs to learn a lesson. And I've been talking about it fairly conservatively in the past, but I think it's about time to ramp this up a bit, which is there is too much rugby available and being played, far too much. So when everything's up and running, as things stand, there is one sport that I can think of, unless you can think of others, that has not been affected yet. I mean, it has been affected, but certainly not in terms of the way they play it. Can anyone guess what sport that I'm referring to is?
You're probably going to go for NFL.
Exactly. The NFL season could probably be played 3 times in 1 year, which means it's flexible, which means that unlike the Premiership or football or any other of these sports where you're playing stupid amounts of time, they're not as fragile. So I would like to see rugby really rein itself in.
And this is the time to do so. We've seen the RFU, Bill Sweeney, talking about a blank slate for what rugby could look like in the future. There's World Rugby talking about big potential changes to the season again and the future structure of leagues, both on a international front, but also at a domestic and a club front.
Let's get onto that then. So just summarise what World Rugby have come out and said, or like Bernard Laporte has had a hand in this, hasn't he?
So it came out much earlier this week, Monday or Tuesday, and it was the story that Bernard Laporte, with the backing of Bill Beaumont, had been looking at a World Club Championship to basically do away with the Heineken Cup and have one global tournament with all the Super Rugby teams. It's not all the Super Rugby teams. A selection of the Super Rugby teams. And then 5 from England, 5 from France, 2 or 3 from Ireland, 2 from Wales, 2 from Scotland, 2 from Italy.
So no.
A big global tournament at the club level.
It's a stupid idea. It's a nonsense. Okay, so there's lots of ways to look at this. First of all, I think it's relatively unethical, whilst every country is in lockdown, to take this opportunity to launch your own idea as to how world rugby will look. Why don't you just wait until everything is back to normal, or as normal as it can be, then see what the situation is, and then propose your plan rather than some sort of power grab when everything is in turmoil? That's the first thing. Second thing is, if you've learned anything from Super League and Super Rugby and almost every other tournament, constant changes in formats please nobody. Nobody cares, no one's invested, and the more you change the format and the more convoluted it becomes. And actually, there's a certain degree of the bigger the tournament, the less that people care too. So Super Rugby spans half the globe. I mean, literally spans half the globe. And nobody cares. And the more they changed it, the less people cared. Six Nations works because it's the same every single year. The Premiership works because it's mostly the same. Pro 14 doesn't really work-ish. I mean, it's constantly expanding, contracting, new teams coming in and out. So this is just a stupid idea. It's a really stupid idea. The world's governing body should look at promoting the national teams of smaller nations, but it needs to leave the club game so the experts in at club level in the respective nations.
So what World Rugby had done here, or what Bernard Laporte is suggesting, would be a top-down approach. And actually... No. It would be a top-down approach in thinking, let's just assemble it at the top how we'd like to see it in an ideal world. Whereas actually, I think rugby is a sport that isn't big enough to run top-down, and it is a bottom-up. Rugby only exists because of the communities that are already around rugby. There aren't enough people outside of the rugby community, quote-unquote, to care, like you say.
It's not even that, is it? It's like, you know, think about, look, if we got hold of football, the world's biggest sport by a country mile, took Manchester United out and Man City out of the Premier League and put them in some weird league with bloody River Plate and some Chinese city and whatnot, nobody would care. They care about beating Liverpool.
Well, exactly, that's what I'm saying. So those communities, those rivalries, when you don't have... When you play Leinster, but there's no travelling army of blue.
Yeah,
it's not. It's just not the same. When you're playing, if you're playing, I don't know, whatever it would be, a Japanese team, name a Japanese club team. I don't know, whatever it would be.
Yeah, Suntory Sun Goliath.
Suntory. Like you play them versus going to with no away fans there, and it's just the team going there, and you're watching it on TV, or some people travelling to Claremont with all the history and everything there. It's I really don't like the idea. I think now is actually not a bad time to look at it and shake the snow globe up a little bit and consider silly ideas, because we've actually got a bit of time to give some thought to things that you wouldn't normally give the time to. But I hope they look at it and then discard it pretty quickly.
Yeah,
these super formats, in my mind, I don't mean super in like the literal term as in super rugby, but these mega formats of any game just don't work. Who are you going to have? You're going to have Bath, Gloucester or Bristol. Why? And then what happens to the other two?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. To do that, if you're doing it that way, you are...
Well, you have a combined team of three. I mean, what are you going to do?
Look at the politics in South Wales when they merged all the old clubs from the Welsh Premiership, became feeder clubs to the regions.
And you might argue that's still not worked.
Yeah, it's still a bit of a mess, isn't it?
Yeah, and we're 15 years down the line?
Yeah. But this, from an organisational point of view, it doesn't make sense. And Tim, the points that both of you have made on the fan bases, like the Heineken Cup, one of the brilliant things about the Heineken Cup is the crowds that it draws. And Tim, you're exactly right. So look at like the blue or the red armies coming from Leinster or Munster, travelling to Clermont or Toulon or Saracens or wherever it is. It's an unbelievable spectacle. The games that we've watched in the last 2 weeks, the Heineken Cup finals of old, the fan turnout there and the atmosphere there is incredible. You can't replicate that if you send, say, Leinster to go to play Hurricanes in Wellington, something like that. It'll just be an empty stadium.
Or in Abu Dhabi.
What is the point?
Yeah, I don't see it myself. I think it's nonsense. I really do. So, no, let the people who know about the domestic rugby organise their domestic rugby.
Yeah, I think it's... I do think your point, though, Tim, is right, that now is a good time to try and discuss and have sensible conversations around this. It shouldn't be about a power grab. It should be about a sensible approach to restructuring the game in a way that balances all of the different needs, because there are some really important different needs. There's the financial need, because none of these clubs are particularly rich, but there's also the player welfare and the drive to get people engaged and interested. And I this is a way of trying to get people interested, but I just think it's wide of the mark.
I think rugby's issues, if it wants to look at reforming, it isn't a structural one. It's an accessibility one. Let's wait for KB. It's not a structural one, as in what clubs are in what leagues and when in the year do they play. It's an accessibility one. It's going for the... Like, there's low-hanging fruit to pick before trying to reach for the very top and trying to make changes of that scale. Because, like, in England, for example, we live in Manchester. Only private schools play rugby in Manchester.
Yep.
There you go. Yep. Have a massive impact by getting it into schools. Secondly, change the laws so it's so much simpler. Because that just turns so many people off because they don't understand what the hell is going on.
I'm not going to lie, I don't like the idea of the game being simpler. Not one bit.
I'm not saying making it simple. I said simpler.
Go on, give me an example.
Give you an example. The all the different multitude of different laws that there are at a ruck. You've got to be... There must be a way of simplifying that. So there's principles involved, not minutiae of all sorts of different laws.
So I could get on board with that. Mm. You've got to be careful not to turn it down a rugby league path, because you could very much simplify the game, but it would end up either like sevens or rugby league or rugby X. And that's... none of us want that.
Mm. No, we really don't want it. I can't tell you how much I do not want to watch rugby X or all rugby sevens in the AJL.
But I think you're right. The accessibility point, and there are so many like people you just talk to at work who will only be aware of rugby when the Six Nations or the World Cup's on, and even then won't really watch or understand it. And doing something to make it more accessible.
Yeah, because
but it's how do you do it?
Yeah, they tend to care about it because it's cultural. Like, it's a cultural thing for everyone to go and watch England-Wales. I don't care what anyone says. The viewing numbers are big. You know, the World Cup is a big event. They don't watch it because of the simplicity or the complexity of the rules. Although I do think that does have an impact when you try to teach kids how to play.
Yeah.
But that's two slightly different things.
But if you're ever in the crowd at a game, you'll often overhear people explaining the rules incorrectly to people around them.
That's exactly what I do. 100%.
That's because I'm always stood near you.
Yeah, that's probably what you're hearing. Like, the amount of times I'm holding court, so allow me to explain this, and I'm completely wrong, utterly wrong.
I like the intent. I think there's a danger there. It'd have to be very intelligently thought through. But you're right, Tim. I think you could simplify the rookie is probably a good one to do, and it's apt because we spoke about the work that they've done last week, which slightly disappointingly they've just reiterated the previous laws without any amendment or adjustment.
So there are easy wins without having to rip up the league structure as it is. Steve Parrott has got in touch on Twitter at Rugby Podcast, and he said, right, we did put a little call out there. Any questions, anything goes. And Steve said, right, all these worthy rugby-related questions, forget that. Let's get down to the serious question. Best snacks to couch watch a game with?
Ooh.
Interesting.
That is a very important question.
I'd go premium crisps.
Which ones?
What ones that would, like, if you bite them slightly at the wrong angle, they could actually draw blood. They can cut you. Well, in fact, the co-op round the corner from you does some excellent crisps, I've got to say.
Sea salt and Chardonnay crisps from Co-op are unbelievable. Mm. They are genuinely, and they're like crack. I mean, I've not done crack, but you know, I can sympathise with people that have now.
they are, in my opinion, they are the best crisps in the world. Those Co-op sea salt and Chardonnay cider vinegar, I think they are. They are unbelievably good.
Crisple meth.
Yeah, I'd love to know what they did to make them so good.
They're so good, and they're so, so flavorful. Like, it's almost painful.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
How much flavor there is in there. They're amazing.
Yes, it is painful, and you can't stop eating. Your tongue is getting number and number because of the sharpness. Mm. Anyway, it's a good question, actually, because I know everyone says, speed up the game. And my answer is, no, slow it down. Calm it. We've got lots of time. Let's enjoy the game. And one of the reasons that I say let's enjoy the game more is because there's a certain food culture which comes along with the American sports because they are on for so long. And I wish there was more of that to do with rugby. The fact is, though, if you get up, well, it's a weird place. The breaks aren't long enough for you to be able to prepare food, but they're too long to be enjoyable, if that makes sense.
Okay. Yes.
So yeah, you can maybe prepare a brew if you leave the second a try is scored and you're not bothered about the replays or the conversion.
Yeah, you could probably do that. Whereas with NFL or baseball or even cricket, you've got loads of time to prepare snacks, food. And actually, cricket's too long. NFL is the perfect. 3 hours is perfect. Although I wouldn't fancy playing rugby for 3 hours.
By the way, you know you were saying UFC is one sporting event that might be huge. I'm so excited about the NFL draft.
Yes, yeah, interesting, wait, isn't it?
When is even though it's end of this month, 23rd, that weekend of April.
Awesome.
Two weeks' time, I think. So it's, it might even be, 2 weeks' time. So yeah, even though it's not actual sport, just something sport related. I'm so excited.
Something to watch and talk about.
Yeah. We got one here. Archie was interested in what we thought about Warren Gatland's suggestion So Warren Gatland has said he would like to play 4 warm-up matches before the 2021 Lions tour with games against Barbarians, Maori All Blacks and Japan, but most importantly, a game against New Zealand to decide the drawn series from 2017. At first, it sounds bonkers, but it would almost overshadow the tour that's then following it. But.
Yeah. I mean, if you're talking about player welfare, adding those tournaments to an already unbelievably congested fixture schedule just seems ridiculous. And I'm quite happy with I think the draw is the right result from 2017. I don't want anything to alter that.
And if they did play, you wouldn't get a fair reflection. I mean, it's obviously a joke because the more you think about it, you just won't get a fair reflection because they're not the same teams.
A totally different team.
Warburton's not going to be captain for a start.
Kieran Reid won't be captain.
Yeah. So we're just looking at, it's just, very, very funny, but no.
Did you see the video of Gats dancing this week?
I can't watch it. I'm aware of it.
There's a little video, it pops up much earlier this week of just him. It looks like he's enjoying a barbecue in Auckland or somewhere in New Zealand with a few drinks and having a little dance. Just relaxing.
Why is he not on lockdown?
I assume it's just his house on full lockdown. Mm. I wouldn't suggest anything otherwise.
Do you know what the population density is of New Zealand? per square mile?
Across the whole thing, I don't know. Very low.
Do you know what our population density is?
No, tell us that.
So I looked this up the other day because someone was saying, the Prime Minister of New Zealand has done such a wonderful job. I was like, how's she? I mean, what's she dealing with? It's 42 people per square mile.
And what are we?
About 1,000 or something. Manhattan is 24,000. I guess it is easy to do a good job when you're a manager at level, at level 7 nation. Apples and pears.
We've got one here from Sam Clark, who's tweeted to @RugbyPodcast. He said, I'm not sure if this has been done before. It may have been, but I can't remember. Anyway, he said, if you had to select one player to clone 22 times to make a match day squad of just one player, which one player do you go for?
Me in 2009. I was playing level 7.
So Sam himself suggested Sam Simmons, which I think is a really interesting shout. Because he's got that squat frame that could probably do a job in the front row, and certainly he's got the gas for the backs.
Yeah. Him or Ben Earl would probably not a bad shout either.
That's a great shout.
Give me Quade Cooper.
Ardy Surveyor was another shout.
Ardy Surveyor is a good one, actually.
That's a cracking one.
Yeah, he could legitimately play international in about 10 different positions. He could play most positions in the back, anywhere across the back row.
He could play any position for Italy, could he?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I'd love to see this one. 10EP1 on Twitter said Darren Morris.
Darren Morris is a great shot, Darren Morris used to have the wonderful hands.
Just scrummage them into the ground.
Oh, but he used to have good hands too, so super soft. Oh, sorry. Oops. There we go. Fall over. Darren Morris, yeah, well done.
Yeah, I asked that question to Joe Marler when I was up the Shard with Harlequins years ago, about 2014. And he said Rupeni Thalfau, which is not a bad shout in his pomp. Well, actually, maybe somewhere in between his like true young days when he was 21 and lean and his in his French days when he was about 18 stone.
Yeah, it's catching that midpoint, isn't it?
Yeah, we've still got the speed, but he can actually scrimmage.
Whatever happened to all those clips we had of rugby players saying stuff like Joe Marler going, "When I'm not, when I'm not working as a Zangief from Street Fighter, a doppelganger, I listen to the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast."
Yeah, we had loads of them. Then we had Matt Gaeto doing it. I wonder if I've got. I've probably got them on my laptop.
We had Jack Berger going, "When I'm not." When I'm not hunting wildebeest in the Namibian desert.
Oh, yeah. I might put one of those in.
Yeah, if you can find one, that'd be awesome. Just drop it in at the end.
I remember who else we got, but you just reminded me you got a Joe Marler one because you got that when you went up the Shard.
Yeah, exactly. Had a chat with Joe Marler, Ugo.
Why does that sound so rude?
So long ago.
It was a long time ago. It was a good fun event, that.
Yes, indeed. I feel like we might run out of stuff to talk about, boys.
Well, hold on. Oh, no, we've got some rugby players doing their bit in the COVID crisis.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, we do, don't we?
Petrus Duplessis.
Oh, yes.
Is working as a respiratory physiotherapist.
Yeah.
Hard work, that.
When I played with him back at Sedgley, he was working for the NHS at that point in time before he signed for Nottingham for a season and before he signed for Saracens for about 8 or 10 seasons. So he's genuinely done this for a number of years in a past life.
Probably worth a shout out. I mean, I'm sure there's other people that have done it as well, but Northampton's physio has gone back to the NHS as well to help out.
I did see that on Twitter as well. And then Jamie Roberts is also.
How do we approach this without sounding like idiots?
Well, Jamie Roberts is going back to help out with the NHS.
What's he doing? Like surgery or something?
He's a trained general practitioner, isn't he? Or is he a surgeon? Is it a surgeon or what? So, you know, anyway.
So he's going back to be a doctor, I assume.
Going back to be a doctor. Diagnosing.
So. One of the media reports on this said that
Porter, is it a porter? Because he can push a lot of stuff.
The mechanical lifter to get heavy people on and off.
He lifts the mechanical lifters.
But it said that he never actually worked in a clinical capacity. So he's got a medical degree. But he never worked in a clinical capacity, so he's going back in a motivational and communication role. So, helping the NHS wherever he can.
Motivational and so right. So, as you may know, me and Phil know some doctors.
One or two.
And there's a lot. I don't know really where I stand on this. I do. Massively appreciate people who just want to help. You know, it is one of the most humane instincts that we have. Is as soon as something bad happens, like what we're going through at the moment, you want to go out there and help. And I get that, and I appreciate it. But some of the efforts of help are so bizarre, it's so weird. So a doctor that I know, who shall remain nameless, said that she got a phone call from someone, and it's a restaurateur. Who had raised some money in order to feed the staff of the NHS. Now, the first thing I'd like to point out is I don't think that the NHS staff suffer really from lack of calories. I don't think, you know, they're going to work starving. It's not one of those things like it's not like helping the homeless. It's a bit of a different thing. But then when I heard what they had planned, they planned to bring their catering staff into the hospital to cook for the staff, which again sounds lovely. But if it's an emergency and all your ventilators are used and you've got an overflow, I mean, it's like sending a buffet to the lads fighting the Battle of Britain. It's just completely impractical.
Well, I know that Claire has said basically every single day, various different restaurants and takeaways are just sending food to the hospital. So there's like piles of Domino pizzas and donuts and kebabs, curries arriving halfway through the shift. Which and they're incredibly grateful for it all, and it is all is genuinely getting eaten and appreciated, and it is helping. But it's quite remarkable the way that people are helping out.
Yeah, I think the sentiment is remarkable. I certainly think that. I think it's so misguided.
Yeah, the sentiment is incredible, and we've seen it in this crisis. And I'll always remember. So I was doing a governor role at CMFT, a foundation trust, NHS Foundation Trust in Manchester, when the Manchester bombings happened, and basically too many doctors and nurses and healthcare workers turned up to offer their services. So that so many people who were retired, not working, off shift, all just wanted to help out.
And it was similar. It's different. Not medical as such. But do you remember when there were the riots in? Well, 2010 was that?
Yeah.
There were the riots, and then it were like thousands of people turned up. I'm talking Manchester, but it was the same everywhere. Turned up with brooms in the city centre and had to be told, "No, you need to go home. There's nothing for you to do.
There's nothing for you to sweep."
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love the attitude.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really hated the I Love MRC or MCR or whatever it was bags which went around after that. I really didn't get that at all.
I love that. Well, I also, there is a little element in this, and I love the sentiment of it all, and the same goes for the clapping and stuff, but there is an element where you just wonder whether some people are thinking, if I don't post this on social media, did it really happen at all?
Well, same with Strava. If JB, if they ban Strava, then I might never exercise outside again.
Yeah, it's so one of the things which keeps me going, Strava.
Yeah, it actually genuinely does. It's a nice little bit of motivation.
If I don't get some kudos, furious.
You never give out kudos, JB.
I'm very stingy.
In fact, on the Thursday at 8 PM, JB, I think it was sort of in your direction near your house. I heard fireworks going off. Was that you?
It was not me.
JB finishing a run.
Well done, Jamie. Well done, Para. Well done, Northampton Physio. And well done, everyone else in rugby.
There's a lot of good stuff going on by Premiership clubs, actually. It has to be said. There's a lot of them doing some really lovely stuff.
Yeah,
I really like the player phone-ins. I think that they're cool. I mean, it costs nothing. It's a real special thing if you get, specifically if you're young, getting a phone call from Faf or whoever is on the other end of the phone. I think that's a particularly cool thing to be doing.
Yeah, I really like that. The Premiership Rugby statement, which said they're extending the postponement of the season, it did list all the good work that the clubs are doing. And there's some really, really good stuff on there. London Irish, as an example, working with Power Day, they're delivering more than 100,000 meals to NHS hospitals. Leicester Tigers as well offered up the stadium car park for free to NHS staff because it's right by the General Hospital.
There was one club that was saying they wanted to get their players to deliver food to elderly fans or some such thing.
Will Carling suggested that it might be an idea for people that are elderly and stuck in their home who might have rugby players that they love to watch in the past. Give them a call just to check in on them.
Yeah, that's cool. So one of the things that I thought about why this shouldn't happen or wouldn't work is, how annoyed would you be if you were a massive, massive Kyle Sinclair fan, but you weren't allowed to go outside and talk to him because he was delivering food? Like, what a missed opportunity.
Just go look at him from the windows.
Yeah. You've just got to know he's been at your house and you'll never get to talk to him. That'd be worse. Don't send him.
Listen, David Hilly has emailed us, contact eggchasers@gmail.com, and he's reminded me of something that we haven't talked about on the podcast, but it's been something I've been meaning to talk about for weeks now, and that is the fact that on Apple Podcasts, and I think some other podcast players, it lists the members of the podcast as Tim Cocker, JB Gill from the boy band JLS, and Phil Vickery, the former England and British and Irish Lion rugby player, or the TV chef.
TV chef. Either or.
Yeah. Algorithm's gone wrong there.
That is quite remarkable.
Who'd do a better job? JB Gill from JLS as an independent financial advisor, or you busting some moves in a boy band?
I think a fairer one, because obviously I'm a very, very good financial advisor. I think the better one would be, who'd be better? JB Gill talking about rugby or me learning to sing?
Yes. Or which Phil Vickery do I need to be? Because I could just about cook a meal. I can cook beans on toast.
But can you make superior quality gilets?
Good question. I definitely wouldn't fancy scrimmaging in the 2009's Lions Tour against Beast.
Yeah.
I did love that third test. That was a great rugby moment where Phil Vickery actually, after two tests of being pommeled,
hammered
the Beast and comes off with about 15, 10 minutes to go and just shouts Beast at the crowd. It's a nice moment. A bit of redemption. It's a lovely moment, actually.
I really remember the first test of Phil Vickery. He was struggling so much.
Yeah, he got pumped.
Was he starting in South Africa?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really? Mm. I even went to the first two tests. I don't remember that.
Were you on the strong zero, though?
No way. I seem to remember,
was it an all-English front row? Because it was Vickery, Sheridan and Lee Mears.
Hang on, which one are we talking about now?
2009.
Was it not an all-Welsh front row? Was it not Gethin Jenkins, Adam Jones and someone else?
Just getting it up. It was... So the first test was Jenkins, Mears, Vickery.
Gethin Jenkins, Lee Mears, Phil Vickery, yeah.
Yes. The second test, Adam Jones came in for Vickery.
Okay.
And Andrew Sheridan was on the bench. Okay. Oh, and Matthew Rees came in as well. And then Vickery was back for the third test. Yeah, Vickery and Sheridan started in the third test.
I got an email here from... Oh, sorry, you're going to say something, JB? Go on.
Yeah, I thought... Actually, no, I best not mention that. Go on, carry on.
Okay, I've got an email here from Thomas Rofe, who's just responding to last week's podcast, and he said, listening to this week's episode, or last week's now, I enjoyed your caffeine diatribes. Have any of you tried the latest South Korean iced coffee craze called the Dalgona coffee? Ooh. He said it's simply the most refreshingly uplifting soft drink he's ever tried.
Has he got shares in
them? Oh, sorry, Dalonga. Dalongo.
So I'm going to make a few statements on coffee now.
Or Dalgona. Dalgona coffee. What is it? Dalgona coffee. The internet's new favourite drink.
Dalgona coffee. The internet's new favourite drink. No.
So I found that... in Japan, the coffee was suboptimal, put it mildly. But they do love an iced coffee.
So in East Asia, they love iced coffees. And so obviously, I spent a little bit of time in East Asia. In the last 6 months, I've spent a little bit of time in East Asia. But the best place for coffee is Vietnam. And their iced coffee, they use condensed milk. So it's basically like a dessert. It's so nice.
So what a Korean, this Korean coffee, what you do is you make the coffee and you whisk up the coffee so it becomes really fluffy, and then you put that sat on top of the milk. So you drink the milk through this whipped up coffee foam.
Ooh, there you go.
Yeah, I have had similar things in East Asia, actually, similar type things. Where it is more like a dessert. There's cream or condensed milk, incredibly like creamy, buttery, and sugary.
Oof.
Mm. We've got one final thing: an email from Robin Hazelhurst, who's heeded our call for listeners with a bit of time on their hands and wanting to come up with a quiz. And he has a very quick quiz called Romanian International Rugby Player or Infectious Disease.
Ooh,
very topical as well. So thank you very much, Robin Hazelhurst. This is what we love. Our listeners are incredible. So if you have a bit of time on your hands and you want to come up with a game, contact eggchasers@gmail.com. Romanian international rugby player or infectious disease. Number one, Florea opris. Would Florea opris be packing down at number eight, or something you might catch on a first date?
You know, I'm going to struggle with this because I'm so squeamish. Even the thought of diseases or growths or ugh, hate it. It's a disease.
Rugby player.
1-0 Phil. Florea opris was a prop and flanker. Prop
what a good
and
line.
Flanker in the late 80s for Romania.
Like you, JB.
Yeah.
Number two, Coxiella Bernetti. Would Coxiella Bernetti run over you like a baby rhinoceros or run through you like a kebab after a rugby club social?
go on, Jay.
The surname makes me think player. The surname makes me think human. The first part of it makes me think virus. So, virus.
Give me virus.
Both correct. It's a Q fever bacteria. Now, Sorin Sokol. Would Sorin Sokol come flying out of the scrum or come flying out your bum?
Oh, that's definitely a flanker.
Yeah, I think that's a player.
A lock from 2001.
Yeah, easy that one. Easy.
Thyrus Pubis. Would Thyrus Pubis damage you with his tackle or just damage your tackle?
Don't know.
Give me a player.
Yeah, I'll go player.
That is pubic lice.
Vile. Disgusting.
Sabin Stratila. Would Sabin Stratila make you want a chunder or hoist you an up and under? Very, very good work, by the way, Robin.
That's very good. The player.
Give me a disease.
It's 1-1. Sabin Stratia is a fullback from 2015. Or 2-2, sorry. Aurel Barbu. Would Aurel Barbu give you problems with your ears or would he have cauliflower ears?
That's definitely a player.
Player.
Correct. From a capped back in 1958.
Easy.
Yersinia pestis make you feel like a dying duck? Or ready to resource the ruck.
Ugh, resource the ruck. That's the most disgusting thing which I've heard. Sourcing the ruck. Grow up. It is a disease.
Player.
JB takes the lead. Yersinia pestis was, and I think it must be in Romanian perhaps, but the bubonic plague.
Ooh.
So you've got three more. Pedria horta. Would Pedria horta be more likely to linger in the wide channel or in a damp face flannel?
Fair play.
Pedria horta.
Pedria horta.
Disease.
Player.
Well, we're back square again. It's a hair and beard fungus. Now we've got Tania Solium. Would Tania Solium give you a viscous hacking cough or a vicious handoff?
That is definitely a disease.
Player.
JB's in the lead now.
Yeah.
That is a type of cysticosis tapeworm.
Ooh.
And finally, Lee Kokota. Lee Kokota, if you are one-on-one facing Lee Kokota, do you want to catch him or it?
Disease.
Disease, just so I can win it.
You have won it, JB, because it was a player from the late 50s. Robin Hazelhurst, outstanding effort.
Good work.
Thank you very much. Contact eggchasers@gmail.com if you've got any thoughts or anything. That's another way you can get in touch with us. Any other business?
I will just say this. I can't say it this week, but I suspect by next week I will have some enormous news. So I'm keeping my powder dry. Apologies to all of you people listening. I probably want to know it now. But I reckon by next week we'll be able to talk about something pretty, pretty big.
No Monday morning meetings?
Lots of Monday morning meetings. I would assume. I think there'll be meetings all this week.
Interesting.
That is interesting. Any watch tips this week, Phil? So I've been smashing Peep Show. I also last night watched, for the very first time in my life, Godfather.
Really?
Oh, never seen it before. It's really good, isn't it? It's all right, that film.
One of the best films of all time.
Yeah.
It's all right.
So I found myself watching TV and one film in particular. And I selected the TV and the film I wanted to watch. This is God's honest truth. Based purely on the fact that I wanted to see people in bars and restaurants. So I effectively watched a chick flick. And what was the other thing I watched?
What was the film?
Oh, yeah.
What was the film?
I watched Ingrid Goes West. Just what? Because
I've never even heard of it.
Just because I wanted to see pictures of California and people in bars and restaurants. And then I watched John Favreau doing his chefing show.
He's such a cool guy. I like him a lot.
Do you? I don't know. I'm unsure.
He's an interesting bloke because he's the one that directed all the Avengers movies, doesn't he? And he's made the, yeah, he directs all the Avengers movies, or certainly a bunch of the bigger ones. And he's the guy behind that Mandalorian thing that everyone's going nuts about with the Baby Yoda in it.
Don't know what it is, mate. Don't even know what the
Disney Channel thing. He's behind that. And he, you know, this is a guy that he's been in films himself for years. And he was that UFC fighter in Friends.
Yeah.
Who was he?
Yeah.
Yeah, so the problem with the cookery show is just so much nonsense is spouted, continual nonsense. But it's actually quite watchable.
Well, I'm going to watch Godfather Part 2.
Excellent.
Is there a Part 3 as well?
I don't know. What I will say, if anyone has Sky TV, other platforms are available. BT is outstanding, I would say.
It is. Sports coverage in particular.
Yeah. Definitely. But if anyone asks Sky, the fight that they have a whole subgenre in their Sky Cinema of just 5-star movies.
Oh, really?
And I haven't been let down with a single one of them. There's been some absolute blinders on there.
Well, better than Ingrid Goes West.
Never heard of that before in my life.
Me neither.
What was the premise?
Like, if you were looking for a film with loads of bars and drinking and stuff, was there loads of bars and drinking?
There's a few good like scenes of smashed avocado on toast, lots of cafes, that kind of thing. There is quite a lot of drinking. The premise is basically social media based and basically about women being nuts, to put it bluntly.
You should watch The Trip because that's just two guys sat eating food in a restaurant and having a few drinks and stuff.
So is this the what's his name?
Steve Coogan and Rob Brydon, yeah.
Yeah. So the reason I don't like that is because I think it's cultish. Like, I think it's one of those things you've got to watch a lot of time. You can't watch it on a one-off thing that's really funny. You've got to be fans of them and buy into what they're doing.
Yeah, I've never watched it, so I think, yeah, that's probably...
I can't believe you've never watched it, Phil. You've probably been to most... Certainly in the first season was about the UK, and I imagine you've probably been to a bunch of the restaurants they went to.
Possibly.
What's that one in that? There's one in the Lake District, really, where people stay. Yeah, they go to Longclume.
Longclume, yeah, Longclume is awesome.
I've got to say, the gentleman to bed scene is very funny.
The what scene?
The gentleman to bed scene, when they recreate gentleman to bed. That is extremely funny.
Yeah. Anyway.
Do you know what's just dawned on me?
Yeah.
Just a second, it's just dawned on me this second. There's going to be no Love Island, is there?
I mean, that's what people were hoping, that our podcast would be resurrected and we'd fill that void for them, JB. But
if Dana White is doing UFC in a Native American reserve, presumably that means there's a free private island somewhere.
Exactly right.
See, all they need is some private COVID-19 tests for all the contestants before they go in. They're fine.
Yeah.
It was like the German contestants in Big Brother about 3 weeks ago were in there and didn't know what was going on. But they're probably the...
That's right, yeah.
I think they got told live on the TV what was going on. But and I was just thinking...
Congratulations, you're out of isolation and into a worse type of...
Exactly. Exactly. Forget about the prize money. Just I need to stay in here, thank you. But but also, if someone did tell you that and you were in a game show... A reality TV show, you'd go, oh, yeah, yeah, this is total bullshit.
Yeah, sure, guys.
Right, wrap it up, Tim. Let's go home.
I'll wrap it up. He's at Jay Beardmore on Twitter. Phil is lurking. He'll let you know when he wants to be found. I'm at Cocker, and we are at Rugby Podcast on Twitter. Contact eggchasers@gmail.com with any of your thoughts or ideas. Don't forget, we've got another podcast coming in your feed in the next day or so, which is about the Heineken Cup final from
2001,
Leicester Tigers versus Stade Francais. We've got a link on our Twitter account to that game. It is on YouTube. Go and watch it, and then you're ready for the next podcast coming your way. Otherwise, thank you very much for listening. Hit subscribe, tell your mates, and let the boys play.
Let the boys play.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.